It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the fifth day of June 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Early arrivals in the room. If you pop in, you'll be greeted by Anatole and Squeaky. And me, we'll take that as read, right? Because sometimes I can't just sit there and camp out and watch the room. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. The Cathedral of Common Sense is on like Donkey Kong. Good. The White Rose Society stream is streaming, and the HeadOn.live stream is streaming. So that means we're on all kinds of platforms all over the place. This program begins each and every day with gratitude. Thanks going out today to our fifth day of the month subscribers. Thank you to Kenda. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you to Kevin, to James in Illinois, and to Roland and Edward. Thank you all very, very kindly. This is how we keep the program going, because we don't have Republican and libertarian-leaning Republican financial backers like some other progressive radio shows do. We don't. We have a nice community here that is determined to continue and perpetuate this conversation. So thanks to all of our subscribers. I should note that the fundraising goal for this evening is $375. And we need to hit that mark. Before I head out the door tomorrow morning, I will be heading out the door tomorrow morning for the Malloy Fest in the North Georgia Mountains. It's been kind of a booger of a day. It's stressful even. Because there was absolutely no cooperation with the weather last night and none this evening, or none all day today. But I finally got a fire to start in the smoker. At about 3, let it burn down by 4, put the ribs on at 4, checked them just before 6 p.m. They are looking fan-freaking-tastic, if I do say so myself. If you go over to my Twitter feed, you'll see them. I didn't have time to put them up at Facebook. There may be some, like, dead air or I don't know. Because we were put seriously behind the eight ball by the lousy weather here. And so there's still packing and wrapping and all manner of things to yet be done. So we may knock off a little bit early. Once again, I looked at Agnes and said, "Why didn't you tell me to fire up the wireless mic? We could have been doing all this outside. We could have tried to do smadio, you know, smell radio, with the wonderful spiciness of hickory smoke." But no, I'm sitting here in the studio. The smoker is smoking away. Agnes is out there. You know, usually, I enjoy doing this kind of stuff. But Agnes is standing in the breach this evening because I can't be out there fussing over it. Yeah, oh well. So, you know, getting packed and making sure I've got all the necessary utensils and whatnot. That was one of the other things that made it extra special, super double plus good fun today. I was supposed to be picked up to, you know, that company that says we'll pick you up. Yeah, I had stated very, very clearly and very plainly that I need to be picked up at 3 p.m. today. So at 3:30, I called and said, did you guys forget me? Well, no, we're going to come get you at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, no. So that's the other, I just got back from, you know, picking up the rental. It's been a booger of a day. Point taken. Steve in New York says, subject line, booger of a day. Oh, dear, dear Bob, without putting too fine a point on it, screw you. You're getting to have barbecue and smoked brisket for as far as the eye can see for the next 4 to 5 days. Would that I would have such a booger of a day. No sympathy here, Cardinal of Common Sense. Well, I mean, we're only going to eat the barbecue. It's one day. Someday, though, Steve, by God, we'll figure out a way to do some barbecue in New York City. And who knows how good that might be. No, it's just the frustration has been mainly the weather. Because, I mean, I was on the verge of going out and buying a canopy to put over the... But we made it. The weather broke. And we got a break. But there is work continuing. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, hey, there's a pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Hey, Steve! There we go. Usually he replies, Blob! Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we got lots and lots of prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. Oh, merciful God. A little bit of stuff to... Like I said, it was kind of harem scarum getting started today. And we're good there. Make sure, yep, okay, no dings. See, there it is in the chat room. Blob! Felt kind of blobbish today. But everything's gonna be cool. I will leave here tomorrow morning as early as I can. Make sure that when you're driving all the way through the middle of Atlanta, you kind of gotta build in time for parking on the downtown connector for an hour or so. But it'll be a little bit easier this time through, even if it's raining, because. You know, last time we did it was November the 30th, and it was already dark by, 5:30 p.m. We should still have some light in the sky. Oh, goodness me. Steve from Georgistan tells me today is Miss Karen's birthday. Happy birthday, Miss Karen, and many happy returns. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Today's also the birthday of our buddy Lottie of long standing. Happy birthday to Lottie. Hope you had a wonderful day. And so, you know, make the best of it. Jimmy in the chat room says, Bob, tell Mike Malloy hello. I certainly will. I will send all of your fond regards. The way the menu's looking, it's going to be the brisket, the ribs, some chicken. And then the curry thing, the vegetarian curry thing that I came up with. Hopefully it'll all work out. Barbecue in New York City, says Lee in New York. You're going to New York City for barbecue? I'm there, mostly to meet you and Agnes. Well, it's something we can work on in the future. It would be, the only problem is I got to figure out how to get the ribs on the airplane. I don't know what the Department of Homeland Security protocol is on airborne barbecue. Might be worth finding out somewhere along the way. So anyway, yeah, we've got $375 to raise this evening so that I'm not, you know, freaking out while I'm down there. But we've also got lots of prayer meeting Wednesday madness in which to engage. I'll forego all the usual shtick simply because, time is short and I don't know, but what we have to, may have to end the program a little bit early. But, let's check in with, where'd it go? Let's check in with Sonny Hostin over at that program, The View. She has done got all the birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, trumpansies in a sure enough lather. How did she do it? She did it like this.
Except in this case.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because I was reading, you know, I was on Twitter this weekend and I read this tweet by Bishop Tobin, who's a Catholic bishop. And he comes out and he says that he wants to remind all Catholics not to support or engage in any pride and participate in any pride parades or anything supporting the LGBTQ community because it's...
Yeah, and by the way, that Roman Catholic bishop that said that, there's been a little pedophilia problem there in his diocese, well, like all the other dioceses. But, yeah, he's worried about children going to a pride event, a place, right. And he's absolutely unrepentant about it.
It's against Christian values and that it's harmful to children. And I tweeted out that my Catholic children will be attending pride events, as this Catholic will. And, you know, my faith always taught me, what would Jesus do?
Yes.
And I know Jesus would be attending that pride parade.
With pride.
And I also know that God is love. And Jesus is love.
Yeah.
And love is love. And for a Catholic bishop to come out and say something like that, given the history of pedophilia in the Catholic Church, given what the Catholic Church has hidden about the abuse of children, some would say that being at a pride parade would be much safer for a child than it has been to be in a Catholic church for many years.
Damn, that's going to leave a mark on the bishop. But her point is well taken. And there's and from a theological standpoint, there's another place you can go with this too. And it is this. Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life wasn't known for swanning around with the well-to-do. He didn't hang out with the Donald and Melanomas of his era. In fact, it was anathema to even have anything to do with a Samaritan. Didn't bother Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer. Hung out. Nobody was more despised than tax collectors. Hung out with them, too. Then there's the fact that he hung out with the whores. None of which was approved of by the better people of your Judean society of the first century of the Common Era. No. So, you know, it's a speculative thing to say, but I think Sonny Hostin's on pretty good theological grounds. He would be hanging out at a pride parade. He would be moving because it's all just ordinary people. And if we are to believe that he was real, I mean, if you take it all as read, then yeah, he's going to be hanging out at a Pride event. And he's not going to hold somebody's sexuality against them. I mean, they left out the whole part in there about who he held against him, but, you know, there's always that argument to be made that he was 33 years old in a culture that was marrying boys off at 14 and still didn't have a girlfriend. I mean, it's one of those long-time companion kind of things. Hung out with 12 guys who wouldn't get a job. Right. Confirmed bachelor. I am not saying, just saying. Steve in New York says, Bishop Tobin, this guy was an auxiliary bishop in Pittsburgh, you know, Pennsylvania, and it's 1,000 cases of sexual abuse. Precisely my point, Steve. Now, the whole edifice of the church is just rotten. And so for this clown to run out and say what he said, and then I had to check to see if it was a parody account. I wasn't sure. There's another priest, bishop, prelate, primate, vicar, monsignor. I mean, they got more flavors of holy men than Carter has little liver pills or Baskin Robbins has flavors of ice cream. Who says he's a retired lieutenant commander chaplain from the United States Navy, who went after the women folk on Twitter the other day. And it's hard to read these things and not just light them the fuck up. Because the level and degree of hypocrisy, I'm not willing to attribute it strictly to cluelessness. This is hypocrisy in the grand form. I'm looking here to see what this cat's name is. I'll try again. Sometimes it takes a little bit. There you go. Yeah, maybe here we go. Because I want to at least get this guy's name out there. There he is. There he is. I don't know. Father Kevin M. Cusick, C-U-S-I-C-K, LCDR, retired. And he put out this tweet all about how he had to admonish the women in church the other day not to be bringing their sinful, filthy, bare, girly shoulders into church. That church is not a place for sinful, filthy, bare woman person shoulders. Not even so much as a bra strap. And he said, don't do that. Please stop. Because it's affecting the purity of the men. Woo! Yeah. Bare-shouldered women are the bane, they're the gateway to hell is what they are. And it took a while to figure out that this clown wasn't joking. And so it's sort of like what Sonny Hostin was talking about. You got this little pedophilia problem. But we're worrying about women's shoulders. But, you know, the devil is, well, the devil comes in many guises. Yeah, leave that one alone. We wander out to Richland, Washington, where Duval Cardwell, age 53, called the cops on 26-year-old Jewel Kennedy. Jewel Kennedy wouldn't leave. Wouldn't leave Duval Cardwell's residence. And then Duval Cardwell said, well, she won't leave because I was paying her for sexual favors and we had a disagreement about payment. No, he tried to stiff the hooker. But he explained to the police, I need her to leave so's I can get to church. You know, we have policing problems in this country, but sometimes you feel bad for the officers because you wonder how they maintained anything resembling composure and didn't break out into raucous guffaws. So he had a gun on him, of course. They took the gun away from him. They charged him with patronizing a prostitute and resisting arrest. Oh, honey, those are such lovely platform heels you're wearing. Patronizing a prostitute. Yes. Notice there was an extant warrant out for the sex worker and busted her too. Officer, you got to get her out of here. I got to get to church. Yeah. Really? Remind me not to ever, no. Well, I mean, but then I don't think there's a lot of risk involved in it. No. So, meanwhile, since it is, it's Pride Month, and let's check in with the mayor of Carbon Hill, Alabama. Yeah, right. The mayor of Carbon Hill, Alabama, Mark Chambers. He's mayor of the little less than 2,000 people in the town, and he went on the Facebook to have a conversation about those homosexuals. I know, Darlene. Darlene, wow, bare shoulders alone? I didn't know we women folk had so much power over men in their purity. Shit, if that's the case, we should have been ruling the world by now. Yeah, well, you're destroying it one bare shoulder at a time. Ugh. I mean, because you know your fellers what are struggling so hard with their, probably shouldn't have said hard, with their purity, and they see that bare shoulder up there. I mean, what do you think burkas are for? Yeah, I know. But that's, you know, that's where orthodoxy and religious fundamentalism and Bronze Age mythology and all that shit will, will lead you. I mean, it's just... I mean, the business with the priest, with the bare shoulders. Please help the priest protect the purity of the men at Holy Mass by choosing to dress modestly. The alternative is awkward for all involved. Thank you. So what would the sacred priest do if some women decided to attend Mass in bikinis? They'd probably cross themselves a lot and gargle with holy water. But he doubled down. He said, I'm not backing down from this. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. And I'm not going to engage in the endless Vatican II-style debate that goes back and forth constantly and ends up nowhere. And then, to make it even worse, this sick bastard retweeted a picture of a child at a pride parade in L.A. He retweeted it, or reposted it. Retweeted. And the weirdos got in behind him. Remind me, how's one's preference in sexual friction a point of pride? And a guy named Father Longnecker, no, really, said, if we're celebrating pride this month, which sin are we celebrating next month? Yeah, seven deadly sins. And this guy's going to keep his job. Because according to that 2,000-year-old hypocrisy, he's doing his job real, real good. But back to Alabama. Back to Alabama. Because this is pretty nasty. Mark Chambers, the mayor of Carbon Hill, Alabama, went on Facebook and said, we live in a society where homosexuals lecture us on morals, transvestites lecture us on human biology. No, dumbass, they lecture you on fucking fashion sense. Too bad there was nobody around to help Donald Trump get into that rented tux. Baby killers lecture us on human rights, and socialists lecture us on economics. You get the idea. Mark Chambers was right upset. And one of his friends on Facebook replied and said, by giving the minority more rights than the majority, I hate to think of the country my grandkids will live in unless somehow we change, and I think that will take a revolution. Chambers responded, saying, wait for it. The only way to change it would be to kill the problem out. I know it's bad to say, but without killing them out, there's no way to fix it. Then when he was called on, busted, for suggesting that every gay person needs to be murdered, I didn't say anything like that. I never said anything about killing out gays or anything like that. And the reporter then read his own post back to him. He said, well, that's in a revolution. That's right. If it comes to a revolution in this country, both sides of these people be killed out. Kind of like when his political hero, Donald Trump, called Meghan Markle nasty on tape. Everybody heard it, and he said, I never said that. Oh, speaking of which, there's some things that you just can't freaking ignore. Oh, my God. The breathtakingness of to stupid. He wound up having a... He wanted to use one of his stupid golf courses in in Ireland as a commercial for his stupid golf course in Ireland for meeting with the Irish Prime Minister, a word I cannot pronounce, Gaelic. Some of my folks probably spoke it once, but I'm damned if I can figure out how to pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. The Irish Prime Minister said no, he would not use Trump's golf course for a meeting and use the government, let the government of Ireland be used as a commercial for one of his tacky-ass entertainment complexes. So he wound up meeting with the Prime Minister of Ireland in the VIP lounge at Shannon Airport. But he did some vacation sightseeing in merry old England before taking off from Portsmouth today. And he got to see something I would love to see myself, Westminster Abbey. And according to the pool report, and this is a quote, he paused at the white marble slab commemorating Lord Byron, the poet, politician, .. and asked, .. I mean, come on, what would you ask about Lord Byron? What was his real name? I mean, the people didn't just call him Byron, I don't think. Yeah, maybe they did. Is this that guy that was friends with Shelley and Keats? Is he dead? You know, Mark the good all-purpose Mark Twain question. George Gordon, Lord Byron.
Say, didn't he write Childe Harold's Pilgrimage?
No, that's never going to happen.
Hey, I heard he wrote Don Juan, about that guy that had all that sex with all those hot women. Yeah. Lord Byron, maybe instead of naming my kid Baron, I should have named him Lord.
Revered as a national hero by Greeks for his willingness to sacrifice himself in a war for independence against the Ottoman Empire. Died there. Dysentery, I think. I mean, he was privileged, extremely privileged, and lived like it. So, he paused at the white marble slab commemorating Lord Byron, the poet-politician, and asked, "What stone the flooring was made from?" Boop!
Yeah, Byron, huh? It doesn't sound like much of a name. Hey, where'd you get the rock for the floor? Is that fake marble? You know, we use that in my buildings. People pay a ton of money and they don't know the difference.
Lee in New York says, Lord Byron, I would have remarked that his daughter was the first computer program, Ada Lovelace. That early? Back in the 19th century? What kind of stone the flooring was made of? The humiliation never ends. Meanwhile, Carbon Hill Mayor Mark Chambers has posted an apology. It's a typical, classical, Republican, maggot, evangelical, non-apology. And then took his Facebook page down. But since it's prayer meeting Wednesday, let's cite. We gotta call out the good as well as the bad. a Methodist church in, of all places, Alabama, the First United Methodist Church in Birmingham, has decided to host a screening of the cartoon children's cartoon on PBS, Arthur. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians had a hissy because one of the cartoon characters, a cartoon rat, as it were, as a matter of fact, briefly got married in this cartoon series. And lo and behold, Alabama Public Television said they were not gonna air that. The name of the episode is Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone. And on June the 15th, in cooperation with Sidewalk Film Festival and the Shout LGBTQ Film Festival, First United Methodist Church of Birmingham, Alabama, is going to screen that cartoon. There will be wedding cake, sparkling apple juice, and surprises. This all-ages screening and celebration is free and open to all. Because Alabama Public Television said they were going to air a rerun instead. The director of programming at APT said, although we strongly encourage parents to watch television with the children and talk about what they've learned afterwards, parents trust that their children can watch APT without their supervision. We also know that children who are younger than the target audience for Arthur also watch the program, and they're going to be confused by all that homosexual rat sex. I added the last part, but he probably wouldn't disagree. God almighty, the stupid. Let's see, we dealt with Christian Dread last night. Oh, and since we were talking a little bit about the pedophilia scandal, Dateline Houston, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo met a woman named Laura Ponticchi's in his conference room in December of 2016. And he was responding to her complaints about another priest who had used her outreach to him for counseling to start up sexy time with her. Along the way, he also counseled her husband on their marriage and squeezed them for hundreds of thousands of dollars in donations to Holy Mother Church. The priest was Monsignor Frank Rossi. And after she met with DiNardo, and DiNardo said, "Wow, we can't tolerate this, harumph." And turns around, it turns out the cardinal gave Rossi a new gig as pastor of a parish 2 hours away in East Texas. This did not sit well with her husband, and he confronted the cardinal. And he said, "Well, you know, if you put this out, because this is what Jesus would do, WWJD. If you put this out there and go public with it, the archdiocese will respond aggressively to any legal challenge, and well, it'll probably hurt your family and your business. Nice little business and family you got there. Be a shame if something happened to it." Well, lo and behold, it took a while, 3 years, as a matter of fact. Took some real live journalism on the part of the Associated Press. But Rossi has been removed. Put on administrative leave. Laura Ponticchi said, "He took a woman that went into a church truly looking for God, and he took me for himself.
And now, Monsignor Rossi is the subject of a criminal investigation. But on the other hand, DiNardo is still, you know, who tried to cover it up. He's still at the head of a meeting to deal with the church's credibility crisis, as the AP puts it, over its failure to fully reckon with sexual abuse 17 long years after it committed to cleaning house. Mm-hmm. And even today there was a story about yet another bishop who made lewd remarks and hit on female parishioners here in West Virginia, of course. Darlene in Connecticut says, oh, I think there was some projecting by that priest on the men in his congregation. Willing to wager he was thinking a lot about those bare shoulders. Sounds like he was getting off on them. Wonder just how old those female parishioners were. Probably little girls trying to stay cool. Oh, snap. Go forth, sinner. Repent. Or how about physician, heal thyself. That's a good one, too. Obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Lee. We cannot see cartoon rats get married. Over half a century ago, Gasp, a white man and a black woman kissed, episode Plato's Stepchildren. They were forced to kiss, probably the only reason they could convince Michelle to kiss Bill Shatner. Oh, I think there would have had to have been hazard pay and extra money. And, we'll save that one. Let's check in with other of those good God-fearing et ceteras. You may have seen this video of a journalist confronting Kenneth Copeland about his private jet. Kenneth Copeland doesn't come out particularly well in that. Remember, Kenneth Copeland is an evangelical advisor to Nitwit Nero. It was an Inside Edition reporter who challenged Copeland about his jet. Well, enter Stephen Strang, publisher of Charisma magazine. It's one of those evangelical rags. Doing the evangelical rag. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Never mind. Stephen Strang came running to Kenneth Copeland's defense. Remember, Kenneth Copeland said he had to have a private jet because there were so many doggone demons there in economy class.
There's a number of large ministries that have airplanes. And why is this so controversial? This reporter took a comment that Kenneth Copeland apparently made. I have not verified this with him. I'm just going by what's on Inside Edition, that he didn't like to be in a tube with a bunch of demons. Well, you know, Brother Copeland has a sense of humor. And in certain settings, he would describe what goes on in airplanes.
Yeah, he's got a sense of humor. I got a private jet. I got people to buy it for me with their goddamn Social Security dollars. Woo! Ah, that's a real knee slapper. I'm glad I got a sense of humor about it.
It is like a tube. It's very crowded. And, you know, he'd be speaking a little bit in hyperbole. But there are people in those airplanes who are not spiritual. You know, sometimes they have to haul them
off
because
they're not
they get
spiritual
into fights with each other. airplane these days, a commercial airline, is a flying bar. You know, they serve alcohol. A lot of people.
No.
They don't get too tipsy because I won't serve them that much. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are not spirit.
Tipsy? Really? Tipsy?
Stephen Strang, buddy, he said the plane was full of demons. Gonna deal with that?
Spiritual, it's not necessarily a good environment, and Brother Copeland makes this point. He also made the point that he was not talking about the people. He was talking about principalities and powers, which we as Christians believe. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
Right. In other words, they live in a demon-haunted world where a calico cat can ruin your day. Remember John Ashcroft?
And there are sort of demonic activities. There can be kind of an oppression, just an atmosphere. And someone like Kenneth Copeland, who's flying to Crusades, and in fact, he told about how he had to fly recently from Africa over to Peru to be involved in two different meetings. And he couldn't do that, of course, unless he didn't have his own airplane.
Poor Stephen Strang struggling. He couldn't do that, of course, unless he didn't have his own airplane. The goddess of irony is playing with Stephen Strang.
Going back to the reporter, she kept saying, well, you know, she was talking about the people in the airplane. Apparently, she just was really focusing on the fact that he didn't want to fly commercial.
No, Stephen, she was focusing on the fact that he said the airplane was full of demons. Demons. And a guy who works that hustle never jokes about demons.
Because of the kind of people that are on airplanes. Well, you know what? You could make the same argument about a bus.
Yeah, but you can't fly a bus from Africa to Peru. Because Africa is a country. Just like Peru. Did you notice that? Flew from Africa to Peru. Or maybe it was Peru, Indiana. I don't know.
Greyhound bus. And taking a bus is a whole lot less expensive than buying a car, making payments on it, paying the insurance, paying the gas and maintenance on it.
Yeah, but dumbass, I can't get the Greyhound from here where I live up to the Wiggling Pig and then get him to hold the Greyhound there and take me back home again. That whole apples and oranges thing is lost on poor little Mr. Strang here. You got to wonder what, you know, why he was, by the way, it's accompanied by a photograph of Mr. Strang with his MAGA hat on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is, after all, the religion of peace. Josh Bernsteinstein he didn't work the religious side of the street so much as the incitement to murder side of the street.
Mueller, you are a slimy, sleazy, dirty, scummy cop. That's what you are. And well, you know what I really want to know? Is how much were you paid, huh? How much were you paid to do that press conference? We know that you said that you're not going to testify in public, which is exactly what Jerry No Nads Nadler and Adam Schiffless and Bella Pelosi wanted you to do, because they wanted you to say certain things in public.
Oh, he's such a clever boy, isn't he?
To make a big display about it so that you could hurt the President of the United States with your comments. But instead, they figured, well, he won't testify in front of the public, so we don't really care what he's got to say behind closed doors, because we want the spectacle of the entire event.
And remember, it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
So instead, how about if you just do a wrap-up press conference and still leave the doubt out there that the president obstructed justice. Yeah, why don't you do that? And here, we'll give you X amount of dollars or whatever it is. William Barr, you need to investigate this press conference and the origins of it and who ordered it and who made it and if there was any type of payment given.
Remember the other day when I talked about scripting a program versus working live? This poor dweeb has to have everything written in front of him. He's just reading off a monitor.
I'm not saying that I have knowledge or proof that there was, but...
I'm not saying you have knowledge of anything at all. I'm not saying you have a brain.
It seems very odd and very peculiar when he says it is not going to be used as a puppet and a ploy for the left, that they decide somehow now, after 2 years of him not saying anything, he comes out there and spews that garbage on the American people to confuse them even more. Dirtbags, all of you. All of you are just disgusting, despicable excuses for human beings. And honestly, I hope you all go down. Treason? President Trump said treason? Guess what? I agree with that. Liz Cheney said treason and a coup? Absolutely. And you know what they do for treason? U.S. Code 182381? They put you to death. That's what they do.
Remember the story from yesterday about the Nazis that were told to go and sin no more, and the district judge struck down the Anti-Riot Act as unconstitutional because, well, we can't be out there busting people for planning riots now, can we? Because Nazi riots are protected speech under our fetishized view of the First Amendment.
So you know what? Let's sharpen up them guillotines. Let's bring out old Sparky, whatever. Okay, let's make sure that those lethal concoctions are ready to go because you people deserve it.
So, yeah, I guess he's kind of rot. But he's this Josh Bernstein creep. What's that? Ron in Raleigh asks. Query, is that slander or libel? It's slander when he speaks it. It's libel when it gets published. It's two dignity torts in one. But you wouldn't want to sue him because that'd just make him all famous and stuff and get him more donations. But he wasn't done. No. And he's got a list, and it extends far beyond Robert Mueller. Michael in Madison asking, have we reached our William Shatner quota for the evening? No. And provides a photograph from the Twilight Zone of Shatner flipping out because of, you know, the gremlin on the wing. Darlene, going back to Kenneth Copeland, points out, you know, I bet you that private jet has a liquor bar that would put the Cheers bar to shame. Probably float a battleship. Mr. Strang sounds a little like Lindsey Graham. Mm-hmm. I know. Don't he? Steve says, I had to take a phone call, Steve, in New York. Who are the you people here? That would be we people. That would be Robert Mueller. That would be anybody. You know, Josh Bernstein just wanted it. There's nothing wrong with America. A little mass murder and purge won't fix.
So sick of this double standard BS two-tier justice system. I hope to God and I pray to God that William Barr does the right thing and puts these ever-loving pieces of crap, deviant scumbag, you know what's where they belong, in prison, and hopefully for the rest of their lives. Or, if found to be guilty of treason, U.S. Code 182381, fry these bastards. How's that? Let's fry these bastards. Let's get out old Sparky and sit each one down. Boom, there you go.
I don't appreciate him talking about our buddy Sparky that way. Yeah, oh, wait, he's... No, okay.
Let's go. Who's next? Boom. Paige, you're next. Okay, Stroke, you're next. McCabe, you're next. Okay? I don't care. These people tried to
steal your vote. They tried to steal your vote.
Actually, no, that would be the Russians, but he's on a roll.
And by doing that, they wanted to decide, not you, who was going to be president of the United States. And that can't stand. These scumbags, and that's what they are, need to be taught a lesson.
A lesson.
They need to be taught a lesson. We need a deterrent for these POSs so they don't ever, ever, ever dare try this again.
Oh, my. He is terribly, terribly butch, isn't he? My goodness gracious, he's positively wrought. The problem is there is a two-tiered justice system. But it's not what this dickhead's talking about. The two-tiered justice system is the justice, the kind of justice you get if you've got enough money to drop a couple of mil on a team of defense attorneys versus the kind of justice you get if you can't even afford the $500 cash bail that the magistrate imposes on you in Texas or Mississippi or Alabama, and you rot away in goddamn jail for a year waiting to be tried on something that doesn't even have a year-long jail sentence. That's your two-tiered justice system. Jesus, these people. And, yeah, it wouldn't be any fun if we... True, Stephen, New York. Let's not forget that Hillary got more votes. Don't tell Josh Bernstein that. He doesn't know. There's a lot he doesn't know. You remember months ago when Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, scourge of the large-bottomed, short-haired lesbian softball players of the world? Do you remember when he said that when he was little, he would rather have been called that certain word that isn't ginger but has all the same letters? He'd rather have been called that instead of being called short. Well, Coach Dave is desperate to find reasons to say that word. Behold, white American Trump-voting, evangelical Christianity.
Now listen, folks, I learned this. I saw this plain as can be. Bigot is the new N-word. Bigot. They don't call us N-words, they call us bigots. Well,
Dave, they don't call you the N-word because you're not, you know, black. You haven't suffered 400 years of generational, systemic, institutional, personal oppression. They call you a bigot because you sit in front of a camera and fulminate and pontificate about big-bottomed, short-haired lesbian softball players. At this point in the game, your lucky bigot is what they're calling you. I mean, I opt for lunatic. I opt for grifter. Homophobe. Racist. But Dave's not happy if he doesn't get to throw that word around because, white like Dave.
They had the, can you imagine them saying to black people, you're not welcome here? Isn't that bigotry? Isn't that big? Yeah, we had some guy chant.
No, dickhead, that's racism. But don't let me slow you down.
Go back to Alabama. Go back to Alabama. You tell me that's not bigotry? You tell me that's not racism? But see, they can throw the word bigot out there, and bigot is a...
No, that's actually travel directions. Go back to Alabama.
Socially accepted word. Oh, if they called what... They called homo. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You yelled, oh, nigger. Oh, no. You can't do that. Bigot, Christian, bigot. They can do that. Do it all day, and everybody applauds. Bigot.
Because that's what he is. It's like calling a horseshoe, or a balloon, or a Ford a Ford. And it's all tax-free.
Hallelujah.
Steve in New York turned on his gaydar. That Bernstein guy queers a $3 bill. Darlene asks, why do I have the feeling that if Robert Mueller got in this douchebag's face, he'd run screaming for the hills? He screams wimp. Well, Darlene, check in with Steve's gaydar there that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago. The closet is a terrible place. And, you know, whether it's Coach Dave or Josh Bernstein. Yeah, you got to get this, you got to make this hooker leave. We had a price dispute, but doggone it, I have to get to church. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, this, okay, one more. Remember, we've had Chris McDonald clips before. Well, he is yet another one of these people in whose otherwise empty noggin people like AOC and Rashida Tlaib have taken up residence. Get the hockey puck.
Tlaib drew criticism after she said on the Yahoo Skullduggery podcast that thinking about the Holocaust gave her a calming feeling. And she basically twisted history and basically said the Palestinians gave up their lives for the Jewish people to have a homeland. I mean, it was just unreal, twisting, deceptive, you know, all this. But to say the Holocaust had a calming feeling on her where 6 million Jews were gassed, Harry.
Yeah, see, she didn't say that.
I don't even have a word.
Just to be clear, she didn't say that.
For that, not one I can use on McJustice today. But I'm telling you, that is despicable. But the outrage of the media, none.
Exactly. It brought tears to my eyes. And yet she goes on late night and cries about how we misinterpreted her, we twisted her words, and brings more attention to her vile statement.
Yeah. 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 She didn't say I'm sorry. She basically doubled down and said they misconstrued my words. Ms. Tlaib, if you're listening to Chris McDonald, you hear me? Listen to me. You come on this show. I invite you on this show. Bring your sorry ass on McJustice, and you tell me how we twisted your words there, okay? Because I think you're an anti-Semite. I think you hate this country. I think you hate the Jewish people. I'm with President Trump. You hate Israel. And
sure. No. She wouldn't dirty the soles of her shoes getting within the same area code as you, Chris McDonald, you fine practitioner of the follower of the Prince of Peace. Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound any fun. Note coming from Steve in Georgistan. Tonight and Saturday, ADD saves the day. Bob, please read and respond. Last night, my ADD saved me a bundle. Let me explain. We were going to the store, and when I rechecked to see if the door was locked, I noticed water was pouring under the door. That's not a good idea. After further investigation, water was pouring onto the floor from our washer. I tried unplugging it, but the water was still pouring out in full force. Long story even longer, our washer needs a new inlet valve for the cold side. It is froze open. I have a repairman coming out tomorrow. The part's cheap, and the labor is only $100. That $28 part could have cost us thousands, if not for my ADD. Had we gone to the store, the water would have kept gushing out, and the flooring in the kitchen would have needed replacing, as well as the floor beams and insulation. We got lucky. The repairman wants us to go to the Home Depot and purchase new hot-cold washer-dryer hoses this evening. So I got a bug out. He said they can bust like tires, and then you have another mess on your hands, especially the hot water hose. Well, good luck. Good luck, Steve. God, I hate it when that kind of stuff happens. What a hot mess. It is 5 minutes past the hour. Let's run over to the stress line and see who's hanging out over there. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Hold on. Just a second. Apparently it dropped the Bluetooth. Won't take but a minute. I'll be glad when we get the new gizmo in. Agnes says, with me not behind the mic, All right, now let's try. You there?
Yeah, Joe from Cleveland here, Bob.
Hey, Joe, what's happening, man?
Hey, just want to wish you safe travels.
Well, thank you kindly.
I really feel bad that I can't make this one, but maybe the next one.
Oh, I hope so. It was good seeing you at the last one, though.
Yeah, same here. It was nice meeting Agnes and everybody. It was really just a very nice time. Nice time had by all. Yeah, I'm going to miss that. What do you got, pulled pork going there? What do you got going there?
No, we did pulled pork and turkeys last time. So this time through, it's hickory smoked brisket, hickory smoked ribs, and I'm going to do something with chicken on the grill, and then there's going to be a vegetarian curry with, like, rice.
That just makes me hungry listening to you. But we got June 5th is just a big day for the Moran Report, Bob, and we have to do one. First of all, this day last year, we had the great Judge Aaron Persky was voted out of office in California. Remember what the great Judge Aaron Persky did?
Help me.
He let that little asshole Brock Turner, who raped that girl.
Oh, yeah, that dickhead.
Yeah, he basically let him go free. And on this day last year, the UN basically told Donald Trump that you were in violation, of UN standards when you decided to, violation of international law when you decided to cage kids. So
doesn't seem to have slowed them down any, does it?
Yeah, so the kids in the cages, and they came to the United States of America, they thought it was the United Crates of America. So they're a little confused. But anyways, also Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, he pleads guilty. He pleads not guilty for rape and sexual assault. I'm sure he did none of it. And then Snot Walker in 2013, he survives a recall vote after the Koch brothers bailed him out. But here's the best one, Bob. And this on this day, June 5th, 1993, the great Ronald Reagan passes away. But listen to this.
Wait! I didn't know. Hold on, Joe. You mean I've missed a perfectly good opportunity to dance naked in the yard?
Well, you can still do it, Bob. The day's still plenty, there's plenty of it left.
Yeah, it might be something I want to do after dark anyway.
Yeah, we'll just do it in the studio. You're pretty much naked there anyway. It's so damn hot anyway. But anyways, yeah, so Reagan dies on this day. And get a load of this. In 1981, on the very day, June 5th, AIDS was declared an epidemic in this country. And you remember how Ronald Reagan just basically made fun of the AIDS people?
Oh, well, he actively participated in making sure that lots of people died who didn't have to.
Yeah, so he
I mean, that's one of the reasons why, if there's a hell, he's down in it getting the reverse pineapple through all eternity.
Yeah, what a lovely man he was. But here's something to ponder. You had Ronald Reagan dying on June 5th, and you also had Bobby Kennedy being assassinated on June 5th. Wouldn't it have been great if Ronald Reagan never was president and Bobby Kennedy actually was? What a different world.
Oh, no, that's that alternate universe stuff that just drives me bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, what if there's no October surprise? What if they're not dealing arms for hostages? What if Jimmy Carter gets a second term and we take climate change seriously?
And he should have well gotten a second term, and it was only because Ronald Reagan engineered a little coup behind the backs of, you know, the hostages. You know, he told Iran to hang on to the hostages, and we'll be sure and let them go after I become president, when full well, you know, Jimmy Carter basically engineered that release of the hostages. It's criminal. You know, there hasn't been one legitimate Republican president elected since Eisenhower, as far as I'm concerned. You know, Nixon stuck his nose in Vietnam when that war was LBJ had pretty much ended that war. You know, Reagan stuck his nose in the
war. I've got a secret plan to end the war, but you have to elect me first. I'm not going to tell you.
Exactly. Well, and that was already done. Reagan's, you know, the hostages were already released. Of course, we know what happened, you know, in 2000 when the Supreme Court just basically named George W. President. And 2004 here in Ohio when somehow the votes, Ohio was, you know, Kerry was leading in Ohio the whole way. And just mysteriously, the power went off about 11:15 Eastern time, and then the power came back on. Somehow George Bush was ahead. So, you know, all you fucking Republicans, go to hell, man. It's just, ugh.
Well, you do a good and credible job, Joe, of making. Well, I think the reminder is warranted. Let's stay focused on the task at hand. But let's never pretend for an instant that the problems we have in this country all began on January the 20th, 2017, with the ascension of Donald Trump to the presidency, because it didn't.
It started about 40 years ago when Ronald Reagan became president. That's to me when the beginning of the end really came. Trickle-down economics, tax cuts for the rich. You know, the whole shitload just started right about.
I don't know if you noticed, but the nitwit Nero is thinking about giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Arthur Laffer.
Oh, the Laffer curve. Oh, sure. Yeah, that moron. Yeah,
the trickle down economics guy, the voodoo economics guy.
Right. Oh yeah, and Arthur Laffer. He just passed away not too long ago. But yeah, that famous, what did Stockman call that? Bullshit economics. What was the word?
Well, what George H.W. Bush called it was voodoo economics.
Voodoo, yeah, voodoo. And David Stockman then really ripped on it, and he said it's just a bunch of bullshit. Basically, what he said behind closed doors. Yeah, it was just a con job. And you know, of course, you remember that taxes were then raised on the middle class at least a dozen times, and some claim as many as 18 times during the Reagan administration. Old Ronnie Reagan.
Yeah,
got a great story to tell.
But Ronnie never took his jacket off in the Oval Office, and that meant he loved America.
Yeah, he said, "My fellow Americans," and these dumbass waved the flag in your face, and these fools fell for it. But you know, I had the distinct pleasure, Bob, of caregiving for a gentleman named Batchelder, and this was William Batchelder, not the one that served in the Ohio Assembly just recently. But his father, who lived to be 96 years old, and in his final months of life, I happened to be the person that did the overnights with him, literally bringing him whatever he needed, water, changing the diaper, you know, cleaning his sheets, whatever he did. Well, on the wall, I happened to look up, and I noticed a little plaque that said, Batchelder Jr., Bill Batchelder Jr., Republican representative for Ohio. Basically, Bill Batchelder was the Ronald Reagan conduit to get him elected in Ohio. He was the head of that. Whatever the exact terminology, I can't remember. But there's a nice big plaque because Bill Batchelder Jr. was the one that started the initiative to get Ronald Reagan, you know, to have Ronald Reagan take Ohio in 1980. And so, in his final days, I found a lovely book called Tear Down That Myth by Will Bunch.
And oh, he's good.
Philadelphia Inquirer. And Bunch just basically tore down Ronald Reagan, all the myths that what Ronald Reagan was and basically told what he really was. Well, the Batchelder Sr. I took care of, he often asked me, he says, you're a very smart chap. What do you do for a living? What work do you do? Well, I said, I just really can't find that great of a job. You know, I mean, I went to college. I, I was in banking for a while. My job got eliminated, and really in these later years, I just haven't really been able to find anything. So I thought I'd try some caregiving and do some security and just to keep myself above, you know, my head above water. He said, well, you're a very intelligent chap. He always called me a chap. I thought that was interesting. Well, I said, you know what? I was reading this book about Ronald Reagan. So that man, the last months of his life, I read a chapter, not quite a chapter a night, but I read about 10 or 12 pages a night to him before he went to sleep. And he just got to realize what his foolish son got this country into. And I was just warmed the cockles of my heart to know his father knew exactly what little Junior, by getting Reagan elected, got this country into, the mess we're in today, and why someone like me, who's educated, you know, 40-some years old, can't find a decent job. And basically, a bunch just went out and told about how Reagan busted the unions. He took the top tariff rate down from 72% down to approximately 27%, which meant all the union jobs went the hell out of this country over to the Far East, to Asia. And he took the top tax rate down from – oh, I'm sorry. He took the tariff rate down from 27% to 3%. That's what he
right.
did.
And he took marginal tax rate down
rate, 72. Right, to approximately 27%, whatever the hell it was. But that basically just meant that all our raw materials were going to go over to the Far East. They're going to build – you know, some guy in Vietnam was going to build a dishwasher, whatever the hell he'd make, for 43 cents an hour, and they were going to ship it back, and we were going to buy it. So there you have it. There's your Ronald Reagan. And I mean, it was the man, Batchelder Sr., the 96-year-old, still really had his faculties. He really understood he understood what I was reading to him, and he really took it in. It was happy and sad at the same time. He really understood the damage that this Reagan had done and what he had caused, the impact. And I don't know how I felt, but I just was moved to read that book to that man 5 years ago before he kicked the bucket. And for Bill Batchelder Jr., if you're anywhere out there listening, Bill, fuck you. That's all I have to say to you. And people like you who got this son of a bitch elected that has caused so much
damage. Along that timeline, you cannot have Donald Trump without first having Ronald Reagan.
No. It was, you know, Ronald Reagan started it. You know, George Bush put it on steroids. And who the fuck, how can you describe what Donald Trump's doing? You know, he's just nuking it.
You can't have Donald Trump without George W. Bush. And
right.
Because he opened the door to the idea of the stupid president. By the way, Flavio, with a little bit of a correction, Joe, says Arthur Laffer is still very much alive and still peddling his snake oil. Laffer sits on the board of directors of several public and private companies, including Bell Health Investment Partners, GEE Group, Evo Transportation and Energy Services, 10th Avenue Holdings, ARC Investment Management, Preverity, Armor Concepts, and Next Point Residential Trust. And he's branched into writing children's books along with Michelle A. Balcony. They wrote Let's Chat About Economics. The second title in the series, Let's Chat About Democracy, was released in late 2017.
Well, that's no
and,
laughter.
And he's being considered for a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Of course. He'll fit right in Trump's little, bag of garbage. Yeah, now how much did you say we were spending in England for this, his little entourage to go over there?
Well over $1 million.
Yeah, those fiscal-type conservatives, you know.
Yeah, Lord Byron, huh? I wonder what the flooring's made of here. Bet it's not real.
Can't be real.
Jesus, that guy.
Well, Bob, yeah, I just thought I didn't know if we were going to do a porch tonight or not. I just wanted to get in and.
No, I didn't. I didn't really contemplate one. And in fact, I'm probably going to knock off early after your call because because of the rain today. It really screwed up the logistics for my planning for the getaway, and I got a bunch of work yet to do. So I'm glad you called, though, and I hope it won't be the last. Feel free to chime in any time. I enjoy our conversations.
All right, Bob. You guys be safe going down there, all right?
All right, thanks. I'm heading out tomorrow. Got the rental. It's a Hyundai this time. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Plenty of room.
Plenty of room for the little portable gas grill, plenty of room for the coolers and all the little doodads that I'm going to need down there.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
All right. You take it easy, Joe. Good to hear from you.
All All right, Bob. Take care. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye now. It's our buddy Joe calling from Cleveland. I enjoyed the heck out of meeting him at the last Molloy Fest. Enjoyed meeting everybody I've met at the Molloy Fest. And I can't wait to meet new faces and maybe some repeat faces this time, as well. So, no, like I said, I am going to knock off because there's too much work to be done, and I don't want to be exhausted getting up in the morning for an 8-hour drive to Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson International Airport. We started the program with $375 to raise. We're ending the program with $375 to raise. Hopefully that will ameliorate somewhere along the way because sweating bills while you're traveling is no damn fun. And this program exists on the goodwill of those who want it to continue. I won't go away just yet. Stand by. Hey, Tracy.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't even hear the phone. I mean, I just dialed, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, no, I'm quick on the trigger.
Hi.
Howdy.
How are you?
Wore the hell out.
It's been a rough week, hasn't it, though?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm just stressing out because, you know, I'm working on the barbecue and stuff, and it's always weird leaving, weird getting away from here. And and then with rain all day long today, it's like, how in the hell am I going to smoke ribs if I can't get a fire started?
When are you leaving?
First thing in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, no program Thursday, no program Friday, probably no program Monday.
Well, you know, somebody told me, I was reading something about people in stress, and somebody's like, it's like, you know, they were tired and worn out, and they thought maybe they had a flu or whatever the case may be. And the problem was, it wasn't that they were sick; they were just tired and they needed a break.
That feels about right. I mean, I'm not placing any blame or anything, but when your schedule is just a damn wreck, like it has been since Ferg started this new job where I have to get up at 5:30 in the morning to take him to work.
That's
awful. You cannot catch up with lost sleep. That's a myth.
Nope.
If you sleep 4 hours, 4 hours, 4 hours, and that means you're down 12, if you sleep in 20 hours, you're not caught up.
Mm-mm.
You're just sideways.
Exactly. No, the next few days for me, my mom is in town. But for the first couple of days, she's staying with my aunt. And then I'm going to go and get her, depending on my schedule. If Alex has he does medical transportation. And if his trip ends up anywhere in L.A. on Friday, then he's going to go pick her up. Do you know how much I hope his trip ends up in L.A. on Friday, thereabout?
Yes, I got an idea.
Because, you know, I don't want to make that drive if I don't have to.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But,
and then, are y'all going somewhere?
Well, on Sunday, one of her best friends that she's been friends with since, oh my God, I was like 5 years old or whatever, she's having a get-together for my mom. Because this is good. She's going to be 70 this year. And, the woman's trip is probably going to be off, which pisses me off because I could have come to Molloy Fest, but oh well. I know. But oh well. Because my mom hasn't been in town. The last time she was in town was 2017 for her 50-year high school reunion.
And how long has she been gone?
She left L.A. in 99. Yeah. So, she usually comes, like, every 6 months because my sister, you know, is a flight attendant for Alaska Airlines. So basically, like, you know, I mean, she could typically fly for free, but, you know, if she wants a better chance on getting on a flight, she has to pay. And usually at the most, it might be $150 round trip from North Carolina to L.A., you know? Yeah, but she could still, the only problem, even with, you know, with buying her ticket, she can still get, you know, bumped. So the only
right,
way to ensure.
Right, because you're flying standby.
You're still flying standby, but you have a little more, you know, leeway if you, you know, pay the extra money. But the only way to ensure that, you know, she's going to be where she needs to be without having to worry about anything is to buy her ticket because, you know, Jan and I took her on our cruise when we went on our cruise in 2017. And she's like, oh, no, you don't have to worry about buying me a ticket. I'm like, are you out of your mind? We're leaving out of Puerto Rico. I'm not going to, you're not going to stress me out.
and not
have a ticket. No. Hey, Mom, I will buy the plane ticket because I'm not going to go through that. I can't because that is stress. And, like, you know, typically she can fly a part in the airlines, but it's the same thing. But, because I had one of my nieces graduated this past Friday from high school. And then one of my other nieces had a volleyball tournament all in Atlanta. So her and my brother drove from Fayetteville to Atlanta. She stayed a few days, and then she flew from Fayetteville out to here. Now, there's a caveat on that one, because Alaska Airlines doesn't fly directly from Atlanta to Los Angeles. You have to fly from Atlanta to Seattle to Los Angeles.
Ooh, that's a little ugly.
Oh, man. And she had to, you know, the flight loads were off and all this. But she texted me because she had to be at the airport this morning at 3 o'clock, you know, East Coast time, which is midnight, you know, L.A. time. Fortunately, she got on from Atlanta to Seattle and got in the first class seat from Atlanta to Seattle at that. And then she actually made her flight from Seattle to L.A. So she got here at, 1 o'clock my time. So she's been at this point, she's been up, you know, I don't even know what time she got up.
Oh, I'd be a blithering idiot.
Yeah, because at this point, it is now 14, 15 hours later. I know she's tired, and I'm just like, that's another reason, because see how it works is.
Well, the funny thing is, going east to west, you get a little bit of an energy bump because of the time change. It's going west to east where you get your ass kicked.
Hand it to you. It is. It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. And you know, I haven't made that trip often going from west to east, but it's on the occasions that I have, I'm like, oh no, I can't. It's like the one time when I went to London and I flew, you know, but I was smart. I did a overnight flight.
Hold on.
So I'll be here tomorrow in the morning and then in the afternoon I will not be writing. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. Well, it sounds like you've got as much potential for exhaustion as I do, and I sound like I'm complaining. I don't, but I'm not.
I'm. You know what? I don't know what was wrong with me today, because I haven't really been sleeping. But actually I have been, and it's just kind of weird, but I was just in a funk and I did something really hard today. It was really petty and I got pressure from it and it was terrible.
Oh, do you, so, were you a bad human being today?
I was a bad human being today. So I, as a matter of fact, it happened right after I sent you that picture of the Ken's extra heavy mayonnaise.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
What the fuck, man? I mean, apparently it's restaurant quality. Maybe because, you know, mayonnaise, you know, is synth or what have you. And I don't know. I don't know what makes it extra heavy. And I thought, I'm like, so I went online. I took a picture of the container at the restaurant, and then I went online and I'm like, because I've heard, you know, I'm like, well, this has to be real because I know I've had Ken's salad. Have you heard of Ken's?
They make the best Thousand Island salad dressing ever.
Thousand Island. Yeah. Mayonnaise, relish, and ketchup. Okay, whatever.
Well, no, that's the thing. There's some chili sauce in there. So it's got a little kick.
Okay, so it has a little kick. But what are the main ingredients?
Mayonnaise, pickle, relish, and, you know, ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup. So I looked it up, and I confirmed that it was, you know, but I'm like, come on, dude, does mayonnaise have to be extra heavy? Well, anyway, as I was walking out of the restaurant, and I'm going to have to send you their jelly. They do and they sell it. Ready for this? Apricot pineapple jam.
Oh, bring it.
Yeah, I'm going to send you some of that because I was in a mood for breakfast, but I didn't want.
Because I love that spicy jalapeno jelly with a little bit of cream cheese on a bagel. Woof.
Ooh, yeah. No, I've been working with that too, but I wanted potatoes. I wanted eggs. And I wanted sour. See, what I drive my waitress crazy whenever I go to a restaurant.
Are you one of those when Harry met Sally people? I want it, but I want it on the side. And it, okay.
No. I'm not that bad. No. The one thing that I will do, and I don't really think it's that terrible, when I, you know, if they have sourdough bread when I go to a restaurant, I ask for the sourdough bread to be buttered on both sides and grilled. I mean, I don't think that's a terrible.
No, it's not horrible. But no.
I know it's kind of persnickety, but with this apricot pineapple jelly though, Bob, on grilled buttered sourdough bread, it's just.
Well, see, you reminded me of something, Tracy, that we make around holiday time, and it might put you off, but there's no coconut in it, so you can't complain about that.
Is there mayonnaise in it?
No, none of that either. What you do is you get equal amounts of apple jelly, peach preserves, and pineapple preserves, and you melt it over real low heat in a saucepan.
Okay.
And you add into that dry mustard and horseradish, red pepper flakes, uh-huh, and black pepper.
And you do what? Do you make it? Is it a glaze for like ham?
No, you stir it. Well, you stir it all up and you pour it back in the jar and you set it in the refrigerator. And you eat it with a little smear of cream cheese on a wheat thin. I mean, that's how, like at holiday parties. With cream cheese on a bagel, it's fan-freaking-tastic. But yes, you can also glaze a pork loin with it or chicken breasts and make people weep and beg you to feed them forever.
I was like, I was thinking about some going and getting me a pork loin roll in a hot second and going ahead and doing that. I mean, you know, hey, that's how I was ready. But you know what it kind of reminds me of with the sweetness level at Rouse. The croakers out there, you guys have like a cheese. Like actually artisanal cheeses, where there's like a whole counter.
Well, no, we've got a case with some better than what's hanging in the cheese section cheese, but no artisanal. I mean, you can get a nice piece of smoked Gouda, you can get your dill and caraway and plain Havarti. I found a thing, and Agnes is going wild. Little tubs of fresh mozzarella balls. Marinated in oil and Italian spices and herbs. Yeah, she goes.
Have you ever had those before?
Oh, I bought them and she went wild.
Oh yeah, because I told you.
And then when all the mozzarella's gone, you take some like naan and heat it up, get it warm, and dredge it through that oil. Shoot. That's a whole nother meal.
It's a whole nother. Well, you know, I told you, like, how I do my, you know, I do a salad bar. You know, I'll boil eggs. And, I finally figured out after, you know, because I'm terrible when it comes to boiling eggs. I forget. And, of course, by the time I remember, the yolk is green. But I finally figured out how to boil an egg and not mess it up. And, you know,
it's not the boiling that busts my ass. It's the peeling. When I peel a boiled egg, they always look got divots in them and cracks and stuff because, you know, I can't just make the peeling come off.
Well, I figured it because I've been research. I mean, see, you and I are pretty much the same animal when it comes to food, and we appreciate, you know, the food. We appreciate the preparation and all the takes, and we will research stuff. And I went down a rabbit hole the other day because I asked you about making macaroni salad.
Yeah.
And I put egg in mine. I do egg, sweet pickle relish, yes, mayonnaise. So, yeah, okay, I put mayonnaise. Mexican pickle relish, no. I chop up sweet pepper. I actually chop up gherkins and celery and onion, and I put egg in it. And so I'm like, let me research really how not to mess up hard-boiled eggs. So I found a way that, you know, you put the eggs in, make sure the eggs is covered with the water, and as soon as it comes up to a boil, take it, remove it from the heat. Well, no, keep it on the burner, because especially if you have burners that retain the heat, and cover it. Cover the pot and just let the eggs cook in the hot water. And Bob, for the first time, I think it's like 10, maybe 15, somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes, I forget. But Bob, not only did my yolks come out perfectly, so much, this is how perfect they came out. I could have made deviled eggs.
Ooh.
With those yolks. They were that bright yellow that, you know.
Yeah, I'm a deviled egg maniac.
Yeah, so, I mean, because I love sister girl loves her some deviled eggs, but I have never wanted to make them because me, you know, I have not ever had a good track record with, you know.
Oh, mine aren't pretty with all those curly cues and you squirt it out of a pastry bag and stuff.
Oh,
no.
God, no. No, no, no. I'm just talking about making sure that the yolk isn't green, you know. So, and you let it, here's another part, when I took the egg out, you peel the egg. I had never had a heart. It was that, you know, those shells came off with no effort whatsoever. Because I'm the same with when I boil an egg and I go to take the shell off, and like you said, there's still little pieces of shell in the white part of the egg, or like the holes and all this. It's like that.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
To be careful. You know, I mean, it's those little, you know, it's the little things. So this is a terrible thing. Well, maybe it's not so terrible, but
Well, I just texted you, or, you know, messaged you a picture of the ribs, so you can enjoy those. Tracy must have traveled out of the area or something, but let's try this again. Are you back?
Yes.
Okay.
How much of that did you hear before you lost?
No, they came out perfect.
Okay. So today was the day. I'm fair warning. So today was the day that Tracy kind of dissed white people. And like I said, if anybody's offended by that, I'm not going to apologize, but I'm just warning you. Fair warning. Well, see, how it started, and this is, so I was getting my nails done today, and so I was at the biggest, you know, I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but out here in L.A., pretty much every nail shop is owned and operated by Vietnamese people, okay? So I'm getting my nails, and like I said, I've been in a mood, So this woman comes in, and I get, I gather she's a regular customer. And if you've ever been to a Vietnamese sale shop, what do? They speak in Vietnamese. Because
sure.
That's their language, right?
Right.
And yes, it can be, you know, off-putting at times or annoying, but I love my nail shop. I love the people.
Well, odds are they love you.
You know, and I don't know if they're talking shit about me or whatever, but goddamn it, there's not many people that could get an ingrown toenail out without cutting off a toe.
Just made me hurt.
Okay, so anybody, okay, so I don't know if you've ever had an ingrown toenail, but my God, that is like the worst pain ever, and a lot of people don't know how to do that without really hurting it. You're hurting the person, and they do, and I'm like, and I love them for it, and they're great, and they hook a sister up whenever I go get my nails done. So I'm sitting there, like I said, I'm in a foul mood, and this white woman, well, she's Israeli. And I thought she was joking. I really did, because she's telling them, you know, speak English. And I'm like, and they started laughing, and I'm thinking they're all joking. But she kept on saying, you know, you need to speak English. This is America.
Really?
Bob, are you? And I'm sitting there, and she's like, well, you know, If I came in here and spoke Hebrew, wouldn't you have a? And I didn't say anything, Bob, because see, I was in that kind of mood, and I know this woman is a regular, and I did not want to cause any problems for.
You didn't want to screw up your nail relationship.
Exactly, because I don't know. You know, because, you know, and she kept going on and on. And then she was telling them to be quiet because they were talking too loudly, Bob.
Jesus.
And it took everything I mean, and you know me well enough to know that you know how hard it was for me not to say anything. So I just, you know, and plus they were almost done with me. So I'm like, but she just kept going on and on and on. And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. And I could tell the other people in the shop were like looking at her like, really? Seriously?
Yeah, it's not like they don't speak English.
Right. And she kept going. I mean, here these people were justified. She's like, well, why aren't you speaking? Because they're like, they were ordering something from a Vietnamese restaurant, and they don't think that they couldn't figure out the English word for that. But why should they have to explain to themselves this? This is their shop.
No. Just no. Of course, there was the sushi, the L.A. area sushi bar incident, the L.A. area Mexican restaurant incident, the West Virginia Mexican restaurant. There's so many stupid people that feel like they've been empowered by this jackass in the White House. That's the bottom line.
I mean, how are you going to come into their place of business and tell them how to speak? So anyway, so like I said, the last few days have just been horrible. I'm feeling like Scott felt, you know, the whole month of May, and we're slipping into June, and I'm just like, bah. So I go to my favorite, you know, breakfast place that if you ever come out here, I will be taking you to, because they make their own sausage there, Bob.
Ooh.
Just to let you know.
Ooh.
They make their own, and you could taste the sage and, you know, and all that other stuff that makes sausage. So, you know, and the red pepper flakes and stuff like that. So anyway, so I took the picture of the mayonnaise jar, and sent it to you. So as I'm walking out, I sat down on the bench outside, and I was reading something or what have you. And as I was just about to get up, now this is a small parking lot, so this is the part where the petty part comes out of me, but I think I was just kind of, you know, getting back at all white people for the woman at the nail place. So I see this white, I see Ken and Barbie pull into the parking lot. And, you know, like I said, it's a relatively small parking lot. And typically I would have gotten up and walked to my car and pulled out so they could park. Because that's the kind of person I am, Bob. But today, Bob, I didn't want to be nice to white people.
Nope.
Today, I just...
Wasn't their fault. Just...
Wasn't their fault. But they were just the wrong white people. They were just white. Had they been black, had they been Mexican, whatever, I would have gotten up and moved. But today, I'm like... Today was my reparation day.
June 5th, the anniversary of Ronald Reagan's death, the man who started his presidential run in the home of the Klan, should be and is henceforth forever known as Reparations Day. You get a cowbell. Absolutely. Hey Tracy, I'm gonna roll because.
You gotta go because if you only have if nobody is gonna be able to talk to you until possibly Tuesday. I know there has to be a couple of people on the horn.
No, I'm just knocking off early because of all the damn rain. I've still got to get the ribs all packaged up and sealed down and ready for travel.
Well, on that note, I'm going to let you know because my mom requested, me to make fried chicken. So tomorrow, I will be seasoning my chicken.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to buttermilk soak it tonight?
Buttermilk, because she's not coming to my house until Friday.
Well, actually, a 36 hour buttermilk soak sounds pretty impressive.
I might just do that. 36 hour buttermilk soak in the outside refrigerator, in the garage refrigerator. Oh my God, that is going to be on it. Oh, God. So anyway, God love you. God bless you. Thank you for everything that you do. Try to get some rest, but I know you're not going to get any rest because you got shit to do. So anywho, safe travels. I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures from the Malloy Fest. And hope to hear from you. If not Monday, definitely Tuesday.
Well, I'm not a professional driver like you are, but I will be a road warrior tomorrow. Google Maps tells me it's right at an 8-hour drive, but Mr. Google has never fooled with Charlotte or the traffic heading into Atlanta or God knows the downtown connector.
Yeah, no. My brother, real quick, speaking of Atlanta, because he took my mom to the airport today, and I guess they're doing construction and what have you.
Oh, hell.
Atlanta Airport. It took them 40 minutes to get into the airport.
Oh, groovy. So
that's not the part.
Yeah, so I need to be there.
My mom to drop her off.
I'll probably be leaving here about 8. And that'll give me time to just absolutely not sweat anything.
Is anybody going with you?
Well, Agnes had been planning on going, but she has started some new medication, and her lupus has flared the hell up, and she can't stand to be, feel air on her. So I'm traveling alone.
I know her pain. I'm going through the same thing with my feet and my legs. So I because of my fibromyalgia and all that. So
well, and she's got that, too.
Oh, great.
And so I
definitely could commiserate
with
her.
She couldn't tolerate 10 or 12 hours in the car both ways. It's driving her crazy because she had so much fun at the last one, and she wants to be it. But
I understand. When I went to Paris, I had all these things that I was going to do, and I woke up. I'm in fucking Paris, and I had a flare up of my fibromyalgia in Paris. On top of the fact that the Eiffel Tower was closed when I got there, but there's a medication that I was taking that had helped me. I just can't think of the name of it. Oh, and a side note about this medication, it actually helps you lose weight.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, but I don't think she could. Right now, the job one is dealing with the lupus, and you can't stack them.
Right.
And
well, I'm going to see the name of it anyway, and hopefully, I don't know, but I'm going to start taking it again because my weight, I have blown up. I'm terrified. I've gained so much weight that I am terrified to get on the scale because it'll just send me into a depression spiral that I could not even ever come out of. But anyway, on that happy note, go do your ribs. Love you. Be safe. Travels and all that. And hopefully we'll be seeing and talking to you on Monday, if not definitely Tuesday.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Tracy, take care and say hi to Mama for me.
I will. I will. I will.
All right. Later.
Night.
Bye. Bye. And so, yeah, I do have to knock off because it's hard to do some of this. I got a little daylight remaining, and it's hard to do some of this stuff with in the dark. When I wind up having to do that, I point the car at the grill and the outside workstation and crank it up and turn on the high beams. It's not a good thing. But at any rate, thanks for checking in this evening. I appreciate all of you. Hopefully we will knock down that $375 we need to raise so that we won't have some sort of gigantic, terrifying $775 hole on Tuesday evening. I'm going to take the little road rig with me. And if it should turn out that I can fire it up on Monday evening and I'm not back here, I will. So I'll try to advise folks on social media. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging with the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks earlier this evening to Steve in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.